Blog Talk Radio.
Good New Year. Hope this is going to be the happiest of New Years, and we're going to do our best, my co-host and I, to help you make this the happiest of New Years in your work world. Mary, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Victoria. Hope it was wonderful.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'm looking forward to creating some new perspectives and some new avenues of change in this new year for myself and for our audience out there. And we've had three shows so far in our new season, and this is our fourth one, and we're each one builds on the one we did before. And if you read the show notes here for us today, we're talking about two powerful intentions that we want to offer you. And our show, well, just to kind of recap what we do, this is about transforming the world of work so that work becomes joyful livelihood. And it doesn't matter whether you build houses or balance spreadsheets or whatever you do out there in the world of work, this show is going to help you change your work world. And so there's a lot of change that positive change that is waiting to happen out there, and we hope that you're going to be part of it.
Yes.
We're going to help you be part of it. Cool.
Yes.
So here we are in this new year, and Mary, we did a couple of shows kind of bringing people through some concepts, and first concepts, were what's the place of doing from your being, which is really a grounded, authentic place to be. To be doing anything, and then we talked about awakened doing last time, which is Eckhart Tolle's A New Earth was presented in that book, and we talked about the three modalities of awakened doing, and unless we're doing anything from one of those three places, one of those three states, and I recommend that you guys, put this on archive, take a listen to it, plug in, and see what we've been talking about lately, because we're building up to the show today where we're going to talk about authenticity and alignment. And we wonder, when's the last time you had a tune-up, right, Mary? It's not cars that just need
that's
tune-ups.
Right. It isn't just cars that need tune-ups and alignments, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And in talking about that authenticity, we're going to be talking about being who you really are at work, in your work role, in your creative endeavors, and being aligned in terms of alignment with your true purpose in enlightened doing, and doing from your heart, doing from your soul, doing from what you really care about. And authenticity, it's a word that we talk about a lot. It's kind of a buzzword out there. It's a word that's been embraced by a lot of people in the vocabulary and in the business world. But, do most of us really understand what this word means? It's a very important word. And more importantly, how it feels. And what it takes to be authentic, right, Mary?
Yeah, and Victoria, you mentioned, and I completely concur with you, it has become a buzzword. It's become a buzzword that people use in their daily vocabulary, and I've seen recently companies adopt this as one of their core values, as they get ready for the new year, their new fiscal year. And the thing that's troubling to me is, but I still see, from a business standpoint, leaders trying to focus on fixing people's blind spots or weaknesses, however you want to refer to that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're really embracing authenticity, what that really means is you're allowing people to work in their job in a way where they're focusing on their strengths and they're making accommodations for those blind spots. And I think Stephen Covey, and I'm going to mention this quote, because I think sometimes, if you're listening in and you're not naturally an enlightened person, this can sound like, wow, this is pretty far out there. This is kind of fluff stuff. But here we go. Stephen Covey, who's a very well-known author, he's written several books, the least of which are The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People and also The Speed of Trust. Those are two of his more popular books. But here's what he says, Victoria. The job of a leader is to build a complementary team where every strength is made effective and every weakness is made irrelevant. You see, we're
wow.
all wired.
Good.
Yeah, isn't that pretty powerful?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're all wired differently. We were all made differently. And yet we continue as leaders, as managers, we compare people to each other. Why can't you be more like so-and-so? You know, so-and-so can do this better than you. This is something that you need to work on. And I've mentioned before in past shows, if our listeners have listened to those in archive, that I've personally witnessed people who have all but destroyed their health because they were being asked to spend a lot of time during their work week performing functions that were well outside of their strength zone. Authenticity is really, it's about being you, not a facsimile of you, not a carbon copy of someone else, but it's about being you. Even John Maxwell, here's another very well-known business person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John Maxwell tells people, you know, it's important for growth that you get out of your comfort zone, but stay in your strength zone. That's pretty powerful too, right? Be authentic.
Absolutely.
And grow, but grow in your strength zone. Get out of your comfort zone, but don't try to fix. As probably another book that some of our listeners have heard of is, and it's a great book. This totally changed my way of thinking about a lot of things pertaining to management and leadership. And it's a book written by Marcus Buckingham and Kurt Kaufman, who are, oddly enough, Victoria, from the Gallup Group.
Mm-hmm.
It's called First Break All the Rules. And one of the premises in their book is you can't fix that which was never put in there to begin with. So, again, I'm going back to business leaders that are listening in. You cannot fix someone's weakness. It was something that was not put in them to begin with. It's not part of their authentic being. And, you know, I'd finally like to just wrap up my piece of this by talking up to talent managers for a minute. You know, if you're a talent manager or a recruiter listening in, are you trying to find cookie-cutter approaches to solving your people challenges? Does your company allow you to help create authentic jobs for authentic people? And there's a fine line here, I realize that. We can't just run around and completely manufacture positions that fit a person's being. But at the same time, I think if you can create a culture where someone is able to come in and fulfill the bulk of a job or a job description that you've created and do it in an authentic way, which is good for them, you can create a win-win situation. So it really is important if you're going to embrace authenticity as an individual, if you're listening in, or also as a leader, you have to allow people to bring that authentic self into work. I think I got this definition from you, Victoria, and I laugh every time I read it because it's so dead on. The definition of hell is leading someone else's life. And I believe that if you're really going to embrace this too, you have to embrace diversity at its fullest. I think that's the other key to this.
Yeah.
I strongly recommend that you get your arms around the fact that diversity manifests itself across many realms. And it includes, I think, first and foremost, allowing people to be authentic. Having said all this, and I realize that was a mouthful, Victoria, what are some tips or some things that people can do if they really want to work on cultivating their authenticity? Do you have any ideas about that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. But before I say that, one of the things I'm really getting into what it is that you're saying here, and honestly, as I work with clients, I work with business clients, the fact is there's so much of this comes from the perspective of seeing a situation and trying to make it fit, just like you said, you know, mostly there aren't problems in the world. There's problems in the way that we're looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And in enlightened coaching, one of the things that I often do is like, well, let's just look for a minute. Let's take the problem label off this and just look at it with fresh eyes. Because often it's not a problem with the employee or a problem where we think the problem is. The problem is our vision isn't wide enough.
Mm-hmm.
The frame doesn't fit the picture. The picture's bigger than the frame. The picture is a different size than the frame, to use a metaphor. So many, many times, this is a way that you're looking at things. And honestly, you know, we're here to transform and raise a ruckus. And one of the ruckuses I want to raise is this whole paradigm of, okay, here's what we need. Let's go out and find the people to plug these holes, you know, and let's see if we can get the round ones in the round holes and the square ones in the square holes. And I can tell you out there, nobody fits anywhere exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Fit is not the issue. Appreciation and opportunity for creativity and creative thinking in a job role. And so there's this thing about, you know, I think the rigidity of this has really crippled much of the system.
Well, you're right. And something you just said, so powerful. Creativity is so important, and rigidity will kill creativity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can't be brilliant in a box.
Right.
So that's the main piece I want to talk about here. And this comes sort of, this is an organic change. This is something that people have to understand. And honestly, mostly, you know, in large part, we're also talking to businesses here in, you know, in upper management and, you know, in how you format your business, how it is that you, what it is you see your business is doing, what is it that you're serving, who is it you're serving, how are you serving them, how can you best serve them. These have to be, these kinds of missions and mottos and mission statements have to become more enlightened in terms of how the perspective of the business is actually set up, so that then when we get down to any particular job role, it doesn't become concrete. And the whole thing becomes dead in the water because nobody can think creatively and nobody can really get their soul to come to work.
Yeah.
So
yeah, right.
This is really, really important. As we can talk about how to do things, but if we're doing it in a system that is in itself maligned and broken, it's not going to help. So I really, yeah, really want people in this new year, this is a time when you rethink things. This is a time when you go back and look at how is this wheel structured anyway? You know, I'm going to go back and I'm going to create a different wheel. I'm going to go back and look at what is it that I can fundamentally shift that's going to open up vistas in my life, in my business, in my work, in my relationship with those I work with, in the potential of this enterprise. That's what the beginning of the year needs to be about. So with that said, the two intentions that we're offering today are ever so important, because it's so important that a business be authentic to itself, that the individuals, that it be authentic with the individuals that it invites to work with it as a team, and that each person that shows up is authentic with themselves and not lying to themselves about who they are and what they best can offer in terms of their gifts and talents. You know, I mean, in our work careers, there are times when Mary, when you had to, I think, reevaluate the fit. I had to reevaluate the fit. I did psychotherapy for almost 2 decades, and at a point in my practice, I just felt that I had outgrown my role, and then I could no longer be in alignment with my true self and serve the interests of the state board and the insurance companies and everything else that goes with that role. And that fork in the road was, you know, and we're not talking, this isn't for the weak of heart, because honestly, to be authentic and to put yourself in alignment with your life means that you have to let go of things. And in my career, I've let go of my income several times to go ahead and step into something that was more of a fit and a creative, true to my soul avenue for what I was going to be doing in that role. And that's why I shifted from psychotherapy to coaching, in terms of the fact that I knew I had outgrown the confines of what it was I could do in that old role. And Mary, we've talked about this personally in our chats on the show material.
Yeah, we have. I mentioned before, as it relates to, you know, authenticity, I've known for some time that I have to be in a role that allows me to be kind, I can be creative, I can be humorous, but most importantly, I can help other people. And in terms of my purpose, I have known probably since my early days of being in the work environment that I have to help other people. That's what I do. And right, it can be teams of people, it can be individuals, it can be executives, it can be entry level, it doesn't matter, but I have a real strong pull to do that. And Victoria, I remember many years ago, I was getting ready to leave an organization. It was the right time to leave, and it was a fledgling little company. And at the time that I was, you know, posturing to leave, the owner of the company came to me and said, you know, I don't want you to leave. I want you to stay, and I want you to be the president of the company. Now, you can imagine some of the things going through my head. Wow, this would be great upward mobility for me. This would look really good on the resume. Wow, this is going to come with a pay increase. I'm not independently wealthy, so that would be a great thing. But when I went home and talked with my husband and really did some soul searching about what would this mean, there was only one answer I had the next day, and that was, thank you, but I can't do this. And the reason I couldn't do it is because it was going to take me away from those things in my core being and core purpose that I really, really enjoyed, i.e. mentoring, coaching, helping other people. I knew that if I accepted that role, I wouldn't have time to do any of those other things.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, that was much more important to me than a title and boosting my ego.
Wow.
And I'm sure listeners have had similar situations as well.
Oh, absolutely. But the fact is, it's like, what do you, at moments like that, what do you listen to? And this is one of the tips, or a couple of the tips to creating, cultivating authenticity. One of the things is, you know, you have to kind of take some time to go inside and contemplate, how does this feel? When you had that, you know, initially it was, oh, wow, you know, this is really cool, this is, you know, how flattering, blah, blah. But then you sat with it, and you felt how it feels.
Right.
How would it feel to step into that role? What would that mean in terms of my core self, and how would that feel to have those responsibilities and have that role and take this to the next level, et cetera, et cetera? And you also made a good choice as to who to talk to, and that's the other thing. It's really important at times when you're thinking about these soul-searching areas of your life in terms of work, be careful who you discuss this with.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently,
yeah.
You married the right guy. 'Cause,
yes.
You know, you had somebody who supported you to not necessarily move in, money as your key, determinant, or, you know, resume look as your, you know, building as your supreme determinant. You know, you actually had a soul-searching discussion with somebody who really held your best interest and your real self, in mind. And it is important when we're doing these soul searchings that we discuss, and I just had a session last night with a client that was going to be looking at interviewing for a new position, and we really soul searched, and we talked about, okay, what would this mean? What would it look like in this event? What would it look like if you stayed where you are? And it developed, and that it's real important. How does this all feel to you? And that session was very productive, and it was very clear to this person by the end of the session what it is, what direction that it was important for her to move in now, despite the trepidation, because change is always going to be, it's always going to be scary.
I think also as it relates to this, Victoria, and really trying to understand your authentic self and cultivate that, you're going to get confronted by the naysayers, and you will be confronted by people who will challenge you, and you really have to be okay with that. And
yeah.
I know I was. I, people telling, are you crazy? I can't believe you didn't do that. You know what this would have meant for your career? And it's like, yeah, I do. Thank you, I do.
Well,
I made the right decision.
And those are the people who you don't want to talk to when you're in this sort of vulnerable formative phase of really considering everything and trying to reach deep into what you really feel and what's best
mm-hmm.
for yourself. That's what I'm saying. It's very, very important who you talk with at what points in your development, whether it's your personal
right.
development, your career development, whatever it is, it's all personal. We're all talking about what has meaning to us, what's good for our health, what it is that is not going to build stress levels, or et cetera, et cetera. So all of this is very, very personal. And so the authenticity is really important. And then as we look at the second intention, alignment, what does that mean? Well, it means that we are acting in accordance with our true purpose. It means that, you know, concrete roles, like I said before, you know, for all of those out there creating, you know, workforce roles, they don't work. A sturdy rubber container is much more, adaptive than is a concrete one. You need some structure, yeah, but you also have to be flexible enough to tap into a potential employee or associate's natural strengths. It's really
right.
important to find out
yeah.
who is this person and what brilliance do they have to offer here. And if I don't find that out, it's going to be a wrong fit from the get-go, or I'm going to be missing some really important potential in this person. And that would be a shame. They would not get to exercise that and offer that here. Right, Mary?
Oh, absolutely. So I think, you know, one of the keys to this, I don't know if you would agree with this, Victoria, is it's really becoming aware when you are out of alignment, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, again, I always direct people into, you know, what does this feel like? And when we talk about looking at alignment, we noted some different, Deepak Chopra's site, Mary was out there looking around at some different sites that would support our material today. And Deepak Chopra, who many of you know, is written a million books, and he is an MD, and he's from East India. And he's got a lot of great stuff on his website. And Mary found some articles on there. This one's called How to Find Your Center in Three Easy Steps. And a lot of this has to do with becoming aware when you're out of alignment. You know, something, I liken it to being an instrument out of tune. You know when you're listening to a band, if you got a good ear, that somebody's got their instrument out of tune. Well, if you're an instrument out of tune, your work band's going to not sound too good. You're not going to feel so good, you know, they're playing your role. And it's real important to know when that happens that you have the power and you also have the responsibility to make a conscious shift. Into either being in alignment with that role, making it a better thing, like, okay, let me see what I can enjoy about this, let me see what I can enhance about this, or if it's not a fit, it's real important to make the conscious choice to shift out of that external circumstance, to change that circumstance, to say, no, this is not my this is not, you know, my ballpark. I'm not going to be the best person, you know, to take this role or to do this this piece of the project. You know, that's not me. It's real important to speak up for yourself. So becoming aware and being able to say and authenticate yourself verbally is really, really important, and that takes courage. It's important to know who you are, and it's important to know who you're not. Make sense, Mary? So, again, these are some tips, but a lot of it has to do with being in touch. That's why we spend so much time in these shows talking about being and talking about awareness.
And something that comes to mind, because I'm guessing that for many of our listeners, you've been in this situation too. You know, you've accepted a job, you start the job, and then suddenly at some point in time that job changes through no desire of your own, and so your role changes, what you're doing changes, and if that happens to be way outside your strength zone, that's where disengagement, frustration, a whole lot of things can set in. But I think you really have to weigh, is this something, again, that's in my strength zone, just out of my comfort zone, and it's changed, so I'm a little uncomfortable with it, because that's very different than, oh my gosh, I'm being asked to do something that this is completely out of my realm of expertise.
Absolutely.
And I don't feel good about this at all. But you have to make some real choices when those things happen.
Well, and I'm going to give you, you know, again, I love metaphors. You know, people, that's how I communicate a lot of times in coaching clients. And it's kind of like when you're at the, if you're at the gym and you're doing something that's building your muscles and you can sort of feel the pull a little bit, but that's a difference between that and hurting yourself.
Yeah.
So it's sort of the same thing as, okay, is this good pain? Is this pain where I'm stretching and I'm just feeling my muscles do something they're not used to doing? Or in making me stronger and more flexible, ultimately? Or is this something that hurts?
Yeah.
That hurts in a way that I think I'm hurting myself. I don't think I'll do this. So,
yeah.
Again, I bring this down to the body. And I have to tell you that when you are out of alignment, and you are inauthentic. And you know, I've had people walk in the door and say, you know, I got to talk to you because I feel like a fake. I just don't feel like I'm real at work. It's very, very important, because eventually what's going to happen is the more you stay numb to this, the more you stay, out of touch with your own truth and how you feel about this, you're not getting away with anything. It will build up in your body as stress. It's the big catchphrase, stress. I'm stressed out. But really, all that is a bucket for all of the physical symptoms and all of the tensions that happen in your body. And when your body is screaming to you, this isn't right.
So
and if
you
you're
have,
not listening
I think,
to it.
You have a great exercise for our listeners.
tell me which one you're referring to, because
the authenticity manifesto.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you're trying to assess, and this is the thing we want you to do here in the new year, if we can offer you anything, it's some reflection time. It's like take a little bit of time and look at the fit. Look at if you're hurting yourself. Look at if you're feeling you're at least stretching and becoming more flexible and learning new gifts and skills here in your work. I would like to invite you to sit down somewhere quiet. 5 minutes is all this may take, and write what I call your authenticity manifesto. What does this mean? Simple question. Who do I want to be as my best self? List those qualities. Who is my best self? When I'm being real, when I'm being who I am, when I'm really putting my foot forward with my gifts and talents, well, what does that look like? Who am I? And how do I want to portray these at work? Two simple questions. What are they? Who is my best self? And what would it look like if I brought that best self to work? What could I offer? And the third thing I'd like to add to that right now is you're going to have to tell somebody that. After you tell yourself and you write your manifesto, you're going to have to find the courage to start speaking your truth. I think that's what HR is for, isn't it? Or isn't that what good managers are for? Or good, you know, somebody who you can work with, who you can start being honest with, okay, somehow or another I'm starting to feel that I would be best shifting this role a little bit more in this direction. Does that make sense, Mary, that eventually you've got to let the cat out of the bag and start talking to people?
Yeah, absolutely.
And advocating?
And I think picking the right person is key. So, and that could be, it doesn't necessarily have to be someone in human resources or talent management in an organization. It could be, but it could be someone that, again, you're there for them, they're there for you, you trust them, they really love you for the authentic person that you are. But that, to me, is key. I think it's important that you do share that with someone.
Yeah.
So important. But I also believe that it's critically important you pick the right someone and put some thought into
that. Oh, absolutely. And maybe there's a ramp up here. You know, maybe, okay, you talk to your best friend or your husband or your wife, or, you know, maybe then after that you talk to a trusted work partner. Maybe then after that you start formulating, okay, what would it look like if I was really at my top here and I could really participate and really add value?
Yeah.
And what would that look like? And then you sort of ramp it up. But the fact is, you've got to, in order to show up, you've got to be aware. And in order to really, you know, in participate in any way that has value, you've got to speak up. And start telling people who you are and what it is that you love and what you can offer, because that's a gift.
Absolutely.
How many gifts are going unrecognized and unshared in the workplace? Tons. That's what spells 70% disengagement. That means gifts aren't being exchanged.
We're regifting.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. You know, this doesn't have to be the white elephant here. This needs to be the real gifts and treasures of who you are and what you can offer. And I can tell you that organizations that are wired that way are off the charts in terms of how it feels to work there and what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. This is good.
I can tell you that
for
right
you.
Now. Yeah.
This is very important stuff. So we've got
and
another
show coming
up.
This isn't impossible.
Up,
this isn't, you know. Oh, and what we want you to do here in the final close-up, we've got about 30 seconds here, folks. What we want to do is invite you, what I call, to pipe up. This is a show. Radio is about listening. That's true, but we want an active, engaged audience. We want you to talk to us. Email me at victoria@enlightenedlifecoaching.com or email Mary through her LinkedIn account. You can reach me through my LinkedIn account too and connect with us if you wish. But we want to hear from you on what are the quandaries, the issues, the questions that you want us to talk about on our show, because next time we really want to put the rubber to the road and talk about some practical, powerful ways that we can look at real life examples and help you leverage forward in an enlightened way. Right, Mary?
Yes, we're going to put powerful principles into practice. I love that alliteration.
Yes, yes, I just absolutely love that. I love to play with letters. So that's what we're going to do, but we need you to pipe up. We need you to raise a ruckus, and we want to hear from you. So please, everybody, write to us, victoria@enlightenedlifecoaching.com. You don't even have to identify yourself. Just put it out there. Okay, here's what I want to hear about, and we'll roll with it, and we'll talk about it on next show, and we'll really put some powerful, powerful principles into practice for you guys. Sound like a good idea?
Great idea.
All right, we're going to do the show, what, in a couple of weeks? So stay tuned, listen on archives, share with everybody what we're doing out here, because that's the way we'll reach people. So thank you very much, everyone. Take care.
Thanks, everyone.
Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.